Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And talking Vandy boys this morning, one win away from another national title. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, who is live in Omaha. Gentry, how's it going? What's going on?
Hey, it's good. Good to be with you guys.
Good to have you with us this morning. Appreciate you taking time to do so. So, Gentry, just your reaction to game one last night between Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. The Commodores explode in the bottom of the first inning for 7 runs, and you give Jack Leiter that kind of a lead, probably going to be a good night for you on most occasions.
Yeah, you know, I know everybody kind of realizes Mississippi State had the advantage with the number of fans there, but to actually be in the stadium and see the difference in the two, I mean, I'm not sure there's anyone left in Starkville right now. there was 80, 85, maybe even 90% maroon in that stadium. And Mississippi State hits a home run in the top of the first. It sounded like Dak Prescott scoring a touchdown. I mean, it was loud. It was the loudest I've heard a stadium in a while. And you just got the feeling like this was going to be really tough for Vanderbilt. You know, you go to a sporting event, you see the atmosphere, and you're like, man, the crowd's going to be a real factor. Now, by the bottom, you know, and then instantly in the bottom of that inning, Vanderbilt just squashed it. And it was a message, I think. I mean, just the way they won that game, they only get 5 hits. So I'm not sure you come away from that saying, okay, their bats have heated up, they fixed the offensive problems. But they got 3 very timely hits, and the air completely went out of that stadium after Gonzalez's home run. The game was over after that.
It's interesting on the crowd because, so 2 years ago, I might have been more Michigan, but, I mean, the place was full with fans of one of the other mostly, and it was still, I mean, I think safely like 40% Vanderbilt people. Now, obviously, it's a different place in the world right now, but is it just like, are Mississippi State fans just buying out Vanderbilt fans? You know, I mean, it's surprising to me that there's not a little bit more of a presence for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I don't know if they're buying out Vanderbilt fans as much as they're buying out the locals. I was outside the stadium yesterday and kind of overheard some of the deals going on, and there was a lot of money being paid for tickets to get into that thing last night, and pretty much everyone I heard doing it, talking about it, was wearing maroon. You just walk around the streets around the stadium, and it's my hotel, everywhere, it's just maroon people one after another. I'm not sure I would say it's a matter of Vanderbilt not showing up as much as it's just Mississippi State showing up in force. This is a really, really big deal on that campus. You're talking about a school that's never won a national championship in any team sport, and they started to kind of sense it here. And again, it was just the feeling in the stadium was just so much momentum and, you know, passion for Mississippi State. And then to have Vanderbilt do what they did, it was just, they just spoiled the party.
Gentry, what have you thought of the process that took place over the weekend to get to this point with the NC State situation, the reaction from some on NC State Twitter especially as well, being critical of Tim Corbin and Vanderbilt through all of this as well? And how big of a mess has this been for the NCAA? We talked about it yesterday here on the show as well. There have been some that have thrown it out there that if Vanderbilt goes on to win this championship, maybe there's an asterisk next to it. Do you buy into that at all? What have kind of been your thoughts on this entire process that's played out over the weekend between Vanderbilt and NC State?
I mean, you hate to see it. I think we've, for the most part, gotten lucky in sports over the last year when it comes to this sort of thing happening deep into a tournament where there is no rescheduling, no substituting. And I know the basketball tournament had BCU out, but that was in the first round. You had, you know, you get lucky pretty, the pro leagues have gotten very lucky, the NFL in particular. And so to see it happen in the Final Four like that, when a team was one win away in a double elimination, I mean, it's tough. And I mean, I don't think you assign an asterisk to either team winning this thing, but I think it's unavoidable that you're going to look back at this College World Series and remember what happened to NC State. I don't necessarily think that would be fair to Vanderbilt or Mississippi State, just because, or Vanderbilt in particular, because who knows? Vanderbilt could have won those games, but it's just the awful nature of COVID and how this has worked out. It's robbed our ability to know what would happen in certain instances, and that's the case here. But I would say, as bad as that was over the weekend, I think once the game started last night, it felt like the College World Series again for sure.
So huge inning, and then not much else, and just five hits total on the night. Obviously, McLeod had such issues last night with control, and Vanderbilt, to Vanderbilt's credit, pounced on it. But do you feel like there's any sort of step forward offensively for this team? I mean, Carter Young does get a single. He needed something badly. Like, where do you think that is heading into game two?
I think that's the real question there, because to get seven runs in the first inning, it kind of implied an explosion of hits that really didn't happen. I mean, I think it was more the Mississippi State pitcher. You know, you walk two guys, you hit two batters, and then to their credit, Vanderbilt had a few timely hits to punish Mississippi State for that. And, you know, but they end the game with five hits. That's the same number that Mississippi State had. Both teams had five hits. They had more runs than hits last night. Vandy did. And, you know, this is a team that I think was hitting .217 or something like that in the College World Series coming in. Well, it actually feels worse than that. I mean, they've certainly not – going into this series last night, if anyone had said, what do you – think could cost Vanderbilt this series, it would certainly be the fact that the lineup isn't producing the way that you would like at this point in the season. And, you know, I think they got some confidence out of getting the lead, but then you go the rest of the game, they only had two hits in the last, you know, after the first inning, in those last seven innings that they were able to come up. So I don't know if you do view it as fixed as much as they just got confidence out of having a lead, but yeah, I mean, they didn't put up 15, 16 hits last night.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Gentry, Vanderbilt, an opportunity to wrap this up tonight and win their second consecutive national title, their third since 2014. How do you think Tim Corbin and company handle the pitching tonight? With Jack Leiter going last night, you would assume maybe Kumar Rocker available for a potential game three. How do you think they handle the mound tonight, and who do you think starts for Vanderbilt in this game?
Well, given that he went once before, you know, maybe Christian Little, but I don't know. I mean, Riley could start too. Nothing has been more of a guarded secret, I've learned.
That's right.
Who Tim Corbin is going to be pitching in like this. So, you know, neither it'll be one of those two, I would probably imagine. But, you know, I do think if it goes to a third game, you would see Kumar Rocker. Corbin was asked about that and said, you know, I basically asked, how confident are you that Kumar would be available if needed in game three? And he just said confident, just a one word answer. So, you know, I do think that's what you would see if it went to a third game. But, you know, as always, we know about the two pitchers, but Vandy's got to be able to bridge that gap. So, I don't know. My guess wouldn't shock me to see Patrick Riley, who has not started a game here yet, but we'll see.
Do you think that there's anything, any Vandy fans or maybe part of a Vanderbilt fan who would love to see this on the arm of Rocker, even though that means losing tonight? You know, the guy who, I mean, Sparks wrote the story, you know, not long ago, most clutch athlete maybe in Vanderbilt history. You know, it would be maybe poetic for him to end his career that way. Of course, then there's also the risk involved rather than just winning it tonight.
I think there'd be that emotional side to it. But I tell you this, if it goes to a third game, Mississippi State's going to be running Will Bednar out there probably.
Yep.
And to this point, I don't think Vandy's going to face him tonight, just like State's not going to face Kumar Rocker. And if it gets to a third game, I think you're going to see both of them. Also, if you go look at the numbers of this, if very over the course of it, since the College World Series went to this three-game setup, it's almost unheard of to see a team win the first game, lose the second game, and win the third game. Teams either sweep or they win games two and three, but you hardly ever see it go win, loss, win. I just thought it was an interesting stat. It's
kind of weird.
Standpoint, if Vandy's going to win it, they probably need to win it tonight.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Gentry live in Omaha. Appreciate you so much, Gentry, for taking time to join us this morning.
Oh, you bet. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show.
Amid the cowbells.
That is kind of interesting that, and we brought this up earlier in the show, like there's been a lot of examples of team wins game one, they lose game two, they're losing game three as well in this College World Series format. That's it's very strange to kind of think about.
That's exactly what happened 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The last time they had this. Vanderbilt loses the first game. Michigan's this team on the crazy run, and then Rocker comes in and, you know, and they win the next two. So, but it's quite strange that that would be the case, that you wouldn't have. And I don't know what the numbers exactly are. I'm going to try to look that up during the break, actually, because that's just weird.
Coming up next, we will get into the NFL. Offseason moves throughout the league. Where does the Titans offseason rank? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.